In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the blessed repose of the soul of Pat Montaño, who died just a week ago. Today's Mass of the Blessed Virgin, the lesson comes from the book of Ecclesiasticus. As the vine, I have poured forth a pleasant odor, and my flowers are the fruit of honor and of riches. And I am the mother of fair love, and of fear, and of knowledge, and of holy hope. In me is all grace of the way of truth. In me is all hope of life and of virtue. Come over to me, all ye that desire me, and be filled with my fruits. For my spirit is sweet above honey, and mine inheritance above honey and the honeycomb. My memory is unto everlasting generations, that they that eat of me shall yet hunger, and they that drink of me shall yet thirst. He that hearkeneth unto me shall not be confounded, and they that work by me shall not sin. They that explain me shall have life everlasting. This concludes the lesson of the book of Ecclesiasticus. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel. According to Luke, at that time, Jesus, speaking to the multitudes, a certain woman from the crowd lifting up her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the paps that gave thee suck." But he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and who keep it." This concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. You may be seated. Today is a note before we begin our reading of the Blessed Virgin Mary and her devotion. Remember, what is today's feast? Do you recall that? I mentioned it a while ago, but I didn't mention it at the beginning of the Mass just to test your knowledge. Do you recall? No. Today is the... Somebody does. Okay. Good. That's pleasing. Today is the feast of the miraculous medal. The miraculous medal. There were some from our parish who just went out to the church, the shrine of the miraculous medal. Was there, and so they journeyed in preparation as a early devotion for today's feast day. Remember, the teaching of the miraculous medal is that image which Our Lady appeared to, showing in full and total, as you have those miraculous medals which you wear, appearing to St. Catherine Labouret on the front, showing her in all of her splendor there, the Blessed Virgin, and then around the image having that beautiful phrase, that beautiful prayer, Virgin conceived without original sin, pray for us poor sinners who have recourse to thee. And so that is an important prayer for us to pray as we seek the many graces and the miracles worked through Our Lady, particularly under the title of the Immaculate Conception. Don't forget that on her image, she reminds us of the rays of graces that she desires to shower down upon her people who put their trust in her through her Son. But so many graces are not rendered unto them. Why? That's right, because they do not ask for them. They do not ask for them. And so, during this Mass, as you have these good moments of silent meditation in the midst of this Misa Cantata, just to be lifted up and to ask Our Lady for daring things. Dare to ask for great things. Things particularly that you need for yourself, not just for the world, not just for your family members, not just for so many of the horrors that have plagued our country, our nation, and our families during this time, but for you yourself to ask those great things, to dare to beseech the Almighty for such graces. If it's good and if it's necessary for your salvation, you already know without the shadow of a doubt that God desires you to have them. But he waits upon you and I to ask of them. Be daring in your petitions this day on her miraculous medal. And if you're not wearing it, although I'm pretty sure everybody here is, make sure you do. And to kiss that medal and make those acts of devotion that you may be inspired to ask for greater things. Today we're in chapter 6 of the practice of filial devotion to Mary. And we're going to talk about the imitation of Mary's. Particularly, we are going to look at the example that our blessed Lord Jesus made, and then to recognize what is the object of our imitation and the means of really imitating the Virgin Mary herself. To begin from our text, can we say that Jesus himself imitated Mary? Should we not rather say that Mary is the one who imitated Jesus? Indeed, both assertions are correct, just as we do, but to a much greater extent, the Blessed Virgin Mary imitated her Son. For her, even more than for us, he was the model she unceasingly tried to reproduce in the minutest detail. From another perspective, however, it is also true that our blessed Lord Jesus, he imitated Mary. All filial piety implies imitation. Jesus was the perfect Son. He wished to resemble his mother as no other child ever had. Already, from the physical point of view of not having been formed as we are from the commingling of blood of two different parents, and having his body from Mary alone, his facial structure, his expression, his gestures, his stance, his gait, his entire countenance would have recalled that of his virginal mother. Anyone who saw him immediately recognized him as the son of Mary. From the moral perspective, we were certainly alike. Rather, correction, from the moral perspective, they were certainly alike. Mary was the mother of Jesus in the full sense of the word. In the generation of Jesus, God surely did not intend to suspend the law of hereditary tendencies, and he just as surely did not wish to suspend the law which says that mothers pass on the dispositions of their soul to the children through their upbringing. God could easily reconcile these laws of all true maternity with the incomparable superiority of the son's perfection over that of the mother. For he fashioned the mother just as he would wish her to fashion her son. He had modeled Mary on Jesus in advance so that later Jesus could model himself on her. And so between Jesus and Mary, there were identical bodily traits and dispositions of the soul as never before nor will ever again exist between son and mother. This is our ideal, to develop between Mary and ourselves the resemblance that exists between Jesus and his mother. We must therefore bring ourselves to think, to feel, to will, and to act like Mary, and to even reproduce the appearance of Mary through our modesty so that anyone seeing us can realize that, in a special way, we are Mary's children. Imitation of our mother will permit her to fulfill her essential duty in us, in other words, that forming us into the likeness of her firstborn. To attain conformity, with Jesus, there is no shorter way than imitation of Mary. For as just noted, God took Jesus Christ as his model in creating Mary, and Mary consistently strove to reproduce herself, within herself, all the dispositions of her son. In this, we say that we should refrain from contemplating Jesus under the pretext that it is actually sufficient to imitate Mary in order to imitate him. Should we do this? Certainly not. Jesus will always be our great model, and filial piety to Mary does not abrogate the law brought by the divine master. Quote, I have given you the example that you might do as I myself have done. End quotation. Taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 15. How could it be otherwise? The very imitation of Mary necessarily brings us into the direct imitation of Jesus, since Mary consistently imitated her son. But the imitation of Mary keeps its own raison d'être apart from that of Christ. It introduces us to certain virtues which, because of the hypostatic union, we do not find in Jesus. Such are faith and hope. It shows us all the virtues of Jesus, but more at our own level, so to speak. Christ's divinity has given his human virtues a special character, an inimitable character. Mary is pure creature, and this pure creature is our mother. The example of Jesus as reproduced by her sometimes seems less austere and more encouraging. We look to Jesus first, then to Mary. It is from Jesus that we take our lessons, but those lessons are more understandable once Mary has explained them to us. That is the teaching of Pope St. Pius X. Quote, moreover, whoever wishes that his own devotion should be perfect and worthy of her, and one ought not to wish to do so, should further strive, I'm going to begin this quotation again because I messed it up. Beginning quotation from Pope Pius X. Moreover, whoever wishes that his devotion should be perfect and worthy of her, and no one ought to wish so, should further strive mightily and in the main to imitate her example. It is a divine law that only those attain everlasting happiness who, by such faithful following, have reproduced in themselves Jesus' manner of patience and sanctity. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be made conformable to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. As it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, continuing the quotation of Pius X. But generally, our foibles cause us to be discouraged by the greatness of such an example. By the providence of God, however, another example is proposed to us which is both as near to Christ as human nature allows, and the more nearly accords with the weakness of our nature. And so this is none other than the Mother of God, in quotation of Pope St. Pius X. The imitation of Mary will attempt to be comprehensive. A love, especially filial love, aspires to the total resemblance. From another perspective, the example of Mary lends itself marvelously to overall imitation. The Mother of Jesus does not belong to that category of saints whom it is said that, quote, they are more to be admired than imitated, end quotation. her life is so simple, so humble, so like our own that we can see or guess how she acted or would have acted in the situation in which we find ourselves. There are, therefore, certain traits of Mary that are particularly call unto us for our imitation. First of all, her virtues. The child of Mary will strive to imitate the purity of Mary, to be worthy of the Virgin of Virgins. Her humility, her simplicity, her forgetfulness of self as, quote, the handmaid of the Lord, in quotation, were self-effacing in order to think only of the glory of God. Her faith, believing in the promises of the Most High as the Maid of Nazareth, or Mother of Sorrows, in spite of conflicting appearances. Her charity, sacrificing self in coming to the aid of a neighbor as the visitor to Elizabeth or the strong woman at Calvary. Her submission to God in saying fiat to the entire will of the Most High as the Virgin of Nazareth and Golgotha. Her prudence as Gabriel's questioner, reflecting before making a decision. Her spirit of recollection and of prayer, meditating upon all Jesus' mysteries in the contemplative at Bethlehem, at Nazareth, and at John's home. The child of Mary will no less emulate the Virgin's dispositions than her virtues toward persons who are particularly dear to her. Almost without knowing how, he will feel himself at home with St. Joseph, St. Joachim, St. Anne, St. John the Baptist, and St. John the Evangelist. He will take pleasure in contemplating them, in conversing with them, and giving witness to his veneration and affection for them. And his heart will expand more and more in the efforts to copy his mother, in seeing the inconceivable love of the Virgin for souls, for whose salvation she went so far as to sacrifice her own son. He will understand that unless he himself becomes an apostle, something essential will be lacking in his piety towards Mary. Nevertheless, the principal characteristic of imitation of Mary remains to be mentioned. Her attitude towards Jesus. Who can plumb the abysses of Mary's love for her son? Can we procure a more vital joy for her than to reproduce her dispositions toward him? To learn from her to think only of Jesus, to live only for Jesus, to sacrifice ourselves for Jesus. This is imitation of Mary brought to perfection. It is also perfection itself. Furthermore, contemplation of the dispositions of Mary toward her son exercised a particular power of attraction and of transformation over the Marian soul, at once a power of strength and of delicacy, of understanding and of love, and also of very special grace, capable of grasping the meaning of Jesus and of living Jesus more quickly and more perfectly than by any other way. At the side of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the soul feels what Mary felt before her son, meaning, what is there to be surprised of if it learns so easily sentire cor et in Cristo Jesu, to take on the dispositions of Christ. After intimacy with Jesus, imitation of Mary introduces the soul to intimacy and familiarity with the Father, of whom the Blessed Virgin has always felt herself the privileged daughter, and with the Holy Spirit, who had made her his immaculate spouse. It is not possible here to give more than a summary indication of the object of imitation of Mary. Its scope is simply too vast. But next to its mother, the loving soul can decipher those things which books cannot impart. Imitation of Mary is carried through a kind of sympathy that is at once natural and supernatural. We contemplate our mother, we admire her, we love her. We want her to impart to us in such a way that we can be like her. We instinctively begin to think of her thoughts, to feel her feelings, to want what she wants, to live her life. Those sentiments which all of the arguments of theologians can only imperfectly succeed in arousing in us simple, loving contemplation of what has happened in her conveys directly to our soul. It is as if an electrical current came from her heart and passed into our heart to revitalize it with her own life. Under what conditions does this sympathy function? The soul desirous of imitating Mary will first of all study her. It will study her in books, even more in prayer. But as the imitation of Jesus, it will require less effort to copy her actions than to enter into the dispositions that quickened and guided them. Love is the ingredient to contemplation. The more you love her, all the more will you resemble her. Union is equally helpful. Love also presupposes it or incites it. It is in the constant intimacy with his mother that the child learns so naturally to model himself after her. Whoever wishes to live the life of Mary must strive to remain in her presence at all times, so that little by little the Spirit of Mary passes into him, directs him in all his ways, and leads him to think, to feel, and to act like her, provided, of course, he has the courage to abandon himself. The Spirit of Mary is the Spirit of Jesus. But the spirit of Jesus is incomparable with the spirit of our corrupt nature. To make room for it, we must consent to empty our hearts of all natural attachments, painful ruptures that only a small number of souls are sufficiently generous to undertake, and a still smaller number are able to achieve. Above all, we need grace. If we cannot perform the act of supernatural virtue without it, how could we succeed without imitating Mary, who is such an exact replica of infinite perfection? Then in prayer, and in the moments of the Eucharistic union that we have, we must above all ask our Lord and Mary for the grace to perfectly resemble our Mother, just as Jesus wished to perfectly resemble her. End of reading. Lots of good tidbits that we find within this reading today of how we are to imitate Mary in so many beautiful ways. But take for note that our ideal is to develop this between Mary and ourselves, a resemblance that exists between Jesus and his Mother. Just as so many of the saints say, and so many of the Protestants upbraid us because we focus so dearly upon the Blessed Virgin, to recognize that we are nothing like Jesus. He has our humanity, but he has something totally different from us, and that is his divinity. And so it can be great to look at our Lord, but hard to see how that has any bearing upon our lives, as he is perfection itself. Yet, when we gaze upon Mary, as we spend so much time on these Saturdays and so throughout the week trying to imitate her, trying to look at her, it is in her that we find one of our own race, she who is the fairest honor. And by seeing how she encountered things and by recognizing that perfection in her, we see that such is not beyond the capability of human nature. And so seeking to be like her, in essence, we are in the same way seeking to become just like Christ, who so perfectly attempted to imitate the Blessed Virgin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.